Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yoo-hoo, we're back. I'm joined by Josh Williams for this one. It is the deep dive. I'm Chris Pajak. Josh Williams, as I've already mentioned, and we are here to talk contracts. What are you laughing for?
Let's just not offer any context at all into that, please.
Okay, no problem whatsoever. It's absolutely fine. We'll gloss over it. It didn't happen. I want to talk with you about contracts because I think you're probably best introducing. This is your show. You've come up with the agenda and stuff like that, Josh, but it's an interesting time to talk about contracts, I feel, at the moment with Michael Edwards coming back to the football club.
Yeah, it's a controversial episode, really, isn't it?
I think it will be.
It's probably going to be like just... These are the key convos that you need to have, really, and I think Edwards is coming back, and he's probably going to appoint a sporting director beneath him at a time where Liverpool have some big decisions to make. And with them at the top of the tree now, Edwards and Klopp leaving, Linders leaving and all that stuff, the decisions will be made by the likes of Edwards and whoever comes in underneath him, Richard Hughes probably. And if that's the case, they will be unemotional, evidence-based, ruthless at times decisions. So you might have to say to that to some players who you're fond of, basically, but sometimes you've got to accept that.
Well, listen, yeah, that's right, isn't it? I think, you know, at some point they're all going to hang up the boots, and do you want to see them do it at Liverpool and get maybe worse at the end of their careers, or do you want Liverpool to get better? And I think most Liverpool fans will say, well, I love a lot of the players that we're going to talk about certainly today. Liverpool might be able to get better by not renewing their contracts and stuff like that. And specifically, it relates probably to the players who are over 30, doesn't it? Because we know from a few years ago that Edwards and Klopp were sort of had differing opinions on whether to offer contracts to lads in their 30s. Because I think it was, I'm right in saying that Edwards felt you would have to pay a premium and the level would steadily drop. And Klopp felt the experience kind of mattered and all that type of stuff. And, you know, being a part of a leadership group is, you know, those two things can't both coexist at the same time almost.
And when you think about it as well, like, you know, who was right? Looking back with hindsight, I'd say Edwards was spot on.
Yeah.
And I'd say Klopp was probably wrong. You know, extending Henderson's contract the way we did, just didn't need to. Absolutely didn't need to. And when it was initially going to run out, was probably when he was going to decline, fall off a cliff, whatever. Same with Wijnaldum. Letting Wijnaldum go, as good as he's been, as good as he was for us, he's done nothing since.
You can say the same with Mane as well.
Yeah, similar with Mane, yeah. Obviously, Firmino's now in Saudi Arabia and that, but I think...
And it didn't really work out for him either, by the way. He had a great start, but that was it.
Yeah, but I think that when you're running an institution like this and you want to be data-driven and all that, the idea is you completely remove sentiment and you make decisions based on the hard evidence, and sometimes they've got to be cold. But if we'd have been cold with a Henderson, maybe, you know, we might not have suffered from the midfield collapse that we did last season, you know, things like that. So I'm in favour of it, me, even though it's a bit, it can come across a bit cold for a family club like Liverpool, kind of, but to hear.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk about some of the players. Obviously, Andy Robertson, Spires 2026, I think his contract. He's just turned 30 8 days ago, for anyone who was interested in that. So he's basically an old man now, but he's not quite as old as Josh.
He's proper old, like, isn't he? Thanks for that, mate.
Mate, I started senior school in the year he was born. So,
you know, it is mad, like, isn't it?
But I've had 10 years of being older than the players on the field. You're just getting to it now. And, like, the what used to really annoy me was the disrespect people used to have for James Milner. I was like, he's a spring chicken.
Yeah.
He's so much younger than me. And he's like, the old man, he can't keep going forever. I'm like, oh my God. Feel terrible. Feel old.
The bottom line is, hopefully, you don't look it. I don't think Robertson looks it, and I still get ideas from him, so I don't look it either. But he's an interesting topic.
Did he really idea?
Well, it depends. Not so much anymore, but yeah.
Is that because you look old now?
Well, I look older, but I do get ideas every now and then.
Do you, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
God. Long
I'm at that point, though, where I'm happy about it when it happens. Like,
yeah, yeah, you have to.
I've never been there before, but now I am, yeah.
You get challenged 25 a lot in the supermarkets.
Yeah, well, I don't get ID for permanent markers anymore or scissors or anything like that. Paracetamol and that.
Some fucking glue.
Yeah, paracetamol and stuff like that, I've proven, but I get IDs sometimes. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about Robertson, aren't we, anyway? He's had an interesting point in his career. Do you need a minute?
Yeah. Probably. Let's go. Robertson's at an interesting point in his career.
Yeah, because as cold as it is, as grim as it is, he's probably... His best days are probably behind him. Do you think that's fair? Would you agree?
I think he's still got another couple of years at very close to his best, which, to answer your question, probably means he's not at his best.
I agree. I think he could still, 2026 contract, I think he would be fine. Sorry, I'm going back to that fucking ID thing. But I think he'd be fine if he was to stay until 2026. I think he'd do a job for the team. I think the problem is the best days, I think, are slightly behind him, to the extent where if you get a bid for him, it makes things interesting a bit, you think?
Yeah, I can't imagine many teams would be coming in for a bid for him, so I've got a feeling...
I also don't know if he'd be the type to just accept any offer and do like a Henderson, for example. I don't know if he'd do that. He comes across the type to me who maybe at 36 would want to go back to Scotland and play there. He doesn't strike me as particularly money-driven.
No. He just looks like he's having fun still, and that's the other thing, isn't it? And that's one of the things I love about... Like the social media age and the club being able to do all these videos and stuff, he just looks like he has fun behind the scenes, and he looks like a great lad to have around the camp and stuff like that.
Well, that comes into it as well. Like, I don't know how much it should, because obviously I came into it with Henderson, probably too much, to the extent where what he does on the pitch has to come first by far. But if they also offer like elements of leadership and stuff, it helps. I think we got to a point where we were. Whenever we talked about Henderson or Milner, the first thing we labelled was the leadership, and the pitch stuff's got to come first. And I think with Robertson, it does. But he offers that leadership stuff, and you got to think, if you're getting in a new coach, them players can just be really invaluable for you, can't they?
Especially in the first couple of years.
Yeah, if you get them on side, they just do you favours and you know, allow you to get away with almost the dressing room looks after itself and stuff, you know, that cliche stuff. So. He's one of them for me. I think he's in the leadership group, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, again, it's
difficult. Times this season as well.
Yeah, it's difficult to determine how much.
The question, I suppose, is he our best left back?
Yeah. For me, he is.
I think he is as well.
And a problem with left backs generally, any left footed player, we've got similar stuff with Salah to say, but they are harder to replace because there's just less of them. So I always think, like, when you say, would you sell him, would you sell him, would you sell him? My first thought is always, like, well, who are we getting into the place with Robertson, even though his best days are probably behind him, it does feel like his replacement wouldn't be as good. Or certainly not yet. You know, no one comes to mind immediately as a left back who's, like, that level. I mean, it'd be interesting to see who FBVF suggests as... are his clones in the statistical
sense.
Yeah,
so I've got them in front of me here. So it's Oscar De Marcos, Arnel Martinez, Kieran Trippier, Giovanni Di Lorenzo, David Raum, Warren Comanzi. No names that I really know other than the right-back on the list, to be perfectly honest.
Well, a lot of them, as far as I know, are right-backs.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with FBVF is it doesn't factor in position in terms of left back or right back. It just groups all full backs together. So, the first two names on the list that you've just mentioned there are both right backs. Yep. Sippy is obviously a right back. I think David Rahm is a right back as well.
Di Lorenzo's a right back, I just checked there as well. So,
David Rahm's a left back.
But here's the thing, though, and it comes into it. Just because they're coming to the end of their contract doesn't necessarily mean that you have to offer them a contract. The right call here might be run it down.
Yeah.
Because he'll be 32 years old and you'll know statistically from Edward's point of view, if there is a drop off over the next 2 years, how much that decline is, if it happens. But also you're probably buying yourself a little bit of time to find a replacement as well.
Mm.
You know, Timokas is 27 years old at the moment. He's in his prime. He's had a good season for us so far. Gomez has been really good at left back so far. It doesn't feel like a pressing issue, this, but it does feel like, why would you give Andy Robertson a new contract now?
I wouldn't give him a new contract. Like, I think it's either he goes for free in 26, you sell him now, or potentially in 26, you give him a year, something like that, just to see what state he's in. I reckon he probably would stay around for as long as you want him, Robertson, without like taking him for granted or anything like that. But yeah, it's a tricky one, like getting in a replacement and that. Like, there's bigger, we're gonna get onto it, but there's bigger fires in the squad at the minute, and I think when this new fella takes over, as you say, it's not a priority. I think one of the reasons it's a convo is just because if you're thinking of like raising funds, if that's a thing.
Does he raise your funds at 30 years old, left back?
Well, again, it depends.
He doesn't know. You're not worried about his value when you signed him for £8 million.
No.
And you've had him for what will be close on 9 years probably by the time we...
No. I think it's a Saudi thing, if I'm honest. I think, to be fair, I think he's also been linked with Bayern Munich, hasn't he? Alphonso Davies getting linked with Real Madrid, so that obviously could be a thing. But when I say raising money, I just mean as in like he's a Champions League winning fullback, captain of his country, you know, big player for Liverpool, won a Premier League and stuff. So I think you could easily raise what you raised for Fabinho, for example, for Robertson. But it's just, it's whether you even want to do that, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Let's have a look. I know he's had a bit of a different season this year, but let's just take a look at his stats while we're here then. So I'm going to take it all competitions. I'm going to scroll down because I know that the drop-off in terms of his assists this season in the Premier League, he's played 15 and got one assist, whereas it was 8 last year, 21, 22, 10. Year before that, 7 in the Premier League. So that's a big drop-off in terms of his assists, but also, I suppose it's fair to say, Josh, that his role's changed considerably, the team has changed, it's not that 4-3-3 anymore, with the emphasis on the fullbacks providing the assists. That's got to come into it as well, I suppose.
His expected numbers are actually quite good. He's setting up more chances than ever before, funnily enough. Some of that could be set pieces. But at an expected level, he looks fine. Doesn't look like he's suffered much of a decline. Physically, what would you say? Do you think he's less of a marathon man as he ever was? Or I don't know.
It's hard to say because I'm viewing him on the last few weeks and he's coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
So I think...
That's a shoulder injury though.
But he didn't play.
No.
That's what it comes down to, isn't it, for me? It's that match sharpness, that match fitness. I don't think there's a physical decline, to be honest with you. I don't think there is. Listen, we might be being a bit harsh here as well, like, you know what I mean? So we move on to the next player then.
Yeah,
I think this is a really interesting one. So Luis Diaz expires in 2027. He's 27 years old right now.
Yeah.
You know, in a year's time, we're probably going to be looking at Diaz's contract, but he's also, according to, who is it you've got the stats from? Is it Capology? Yeah. Your FB ref.
Yeah.
So he's also only on 55,000 a week. I say only. But in footballer terms, as a forward player for Liverpool, that's pretty low.
Yeah,
he hasn't, am I right in saying he's not had a new contract since he came to the club, which is unusual as well, by the way.
Yeah, but I think that does kind of sum up the way he's been since he's been here. Like, I do like him. I think he's done well. I think he's a good player. I've got no problem when he starts and things like that. But he hasn't, for example, had the Salah explosion when Salah arrived at Liverpool and became one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
You could argue the same happened with Bobby, the same happened with Mane. Would you say Jota? No?
I think Jota was much better than I thought.
Yeah, when he came.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd be anywhere near.
He stepped up a level.
Yeah, I do think he did.
I think Diaz is about as good as he was when he arrived. And when he arrived, he was 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah,
25, I think.
He was 24.
Okay, so you get him at a peak age there. I think he's still around peak age and stuff, but again, this kind of contract stuff is about not necessarily looking at the player that you've got now. It's about thinking about the player he's going to be by 2026, for example, when he'll have a year left on his deal. If you think of what Diaz might look like at 2026, he's now 27 years old. I don't picture a player who's better. Mm-hmm. I think he's about the same level again, if not worse. What do you think on that? Do you think that's harsh? When I say worse, I don't mean like, you know.
Like, in terms of his output, you know, he only got 21 games last season, scored 5 goals. He's got 39 games so far this season, so his availability has been much better. Mm. He's got 11 goals across all comps this season. It's the first time he's hit double figures for us since he came to the football club, which is interesting. In terms of his goals per game, per 90 metrics, it's at 0.37. It's the highest of his three years at Liverpool. There was one outstanding year at Porto and he's kind of regressed to those levels again.
See, he had an... I'm looking at the wrong player.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. That would suggest that actually he's playing as well as he's ever played for us. But you'd expect that because he's 27 years old, he's fully integrated into the side and he's playing regularly.
Yeah. I mean, at an expected level, it's... You would like a bit more, I think, potentially. Like, it feels a bit unfair comparing him to Salah, but I don't actually think it is. I think it's the right thing to do because Salah's the benchmark, really, of a Liverpool forward. Salah's numbers under the surface are why he's Liverpool's highest paid player ever and why we could justify extending, then extending again. You know, I'm really, really locking him down. Like, Salah basically averages every 90 minutes basically a goal or an assist. Diaz is kind of half that. Hmm. And last season, it was even worse than that. So, you know, at an expected level, I think Diaz is, like, just good. I don't think he's, like, you know...
Great.
Indispensable. Yeah, he's an interesting one, like...
Do you fancy that Liverpool would... There's rumours of a bid coming in from PSG or Barcelona, £100 million. Do you think Liverpool would strongly consider that bid? And do you think they'd accept it?
£100 million? Yeah.
Would you sell him for £100 million?
Probably, but it goes back to what I said before in terms of you would immediately have to think of replacements. Who would you get in? The benefits of a Diaz and selling them is players over here who are good are quite common. There's a lot of them. Mm. Whereas left footers, a lot less common, a lot more rare. But over this side, I mean, you've got literally two lads already in the squad who want that spot in a Jota and a Gakpo.
One of them you'd give it to, maybe one you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And the one that you'd give it to, is it fair to say, has had his injury issues?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be confident to just sell him and not replace, would you?
No, not really. I think especially with the makeup of the squad as well, I do think we're moving towards this five forwards who are just about as good as each other and you just rotate between them. But, you know, you've got like a Rafael Leao over there and I think we might have missed a boat on that one, but that's just a random example. You've mm-hmm. got Kvara at Napoli.
Yeah.
You know, he's... Let me check his output really quickly, but I would assume his output is slightly better at an expected level. And let's have a look.
Kvaratskhelia, yeah. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, it is slightly better for a worse team. And he's 23. So, and I reckon, Napoli are a bit nuts, but I reckon probably 100 million would probably get him. So if you're basically swapping him and Diaz, and he's 4 years younger, I reckon he could still become the Salah where he explodes. I just think it's safe to say now he's probably not going to. Yeah. But saying that, he's still boss, I still love him. And it's hard to, you know, it's quite cold, isn't it, saying the sun.
Well, this is the point of this show, though, isn't it? We're trying to take the emotions out of it. We are trying to look at it like maybe how Liverpool would look at it and stuff. And I think, to be perfectly honest with you, there are better players out there.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. And if your job is to make Liverpool better, well, you go and upgrading the positions where you think you can get better. And that will probably have more impact, that position, on points in the league table than maybe the others.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more likely that he stays. Again, we've got bigger fires to put out. Stays for a year, and we probably look at it as more of a realistic sale next summer when he's got 2 years on his deal and he's 28. That would be a good time, in my opinion, to say, nice one, but you can. We've had the best out of you.
Yeah.
Like City did that recently with Sterling and Jesus, and it's tricky. But I think sometimes it does make sense, and some of the lads are good enough, and they're good enough to just spend the whole career, which is and Liverpool. It feels like we're used to that as Liverpool fans, like a Salah, Mane, Firmino, and that. But sometimes when a player's just really good, comes in, stays really good, does a job, turns 28. Sometimes you can't just say, next. But again, it's brutal, isn't it?
It is brutal. We'll move on to a lad I don't think we're going to have too much of a conversation with, but Trent Alexander-Arnold. This is, he's 25 years old. His contract runs out in 2025. This is a no-brainer.
You need to say that again, That's scary.
What?
His contract runs out in 2025. That's a year.
But he's a Scouser.
Yeah, but that's soon.
Yeah, but the problem is, I think Liverpool would have had him, Virgil and Mo Salah tied up, but for Jurgen Klopp and having no director of football.
Yeah.
So you've now got to wait until June the 1st before you can do your contract, which run out next year. And you're lucky in some ways that Salah, Trent and Virgil are 2025, but they are entering the final year.
That's
bad problem by Liverpool.
Yeah.
For not having a director of football in place, of course. You can't really blame them for the Klopp thing. You can't blame them for the director of football thing.
Yeah.
Because Klopp would have probably just renewed. But you've also got to speak to a manager, you've got to see what the plans are, etc., etc. It's bad planning, don't get me wrong, but Trent will be fine. Virgil, I imagine, as the captain of a football club, will be fine. Salah gave me the wobbles,
I think the big worry for me is they're arguably Liverpool's three best players.
Yeah.
Arguably. And they all, in a year's time, as it stands, the situation as it is now, will leave.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Michael Edwards' first job, June the 1st, is not where's my office, it's where's Trent, Virgil and Salah.
Yeah, this summer, I actually think, because of the state of the squad at the minute, I don't think we've got any massive gaps. I think first on the agenda will be sort them three out, rather than who can we sign.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It has to be. But Trent's an easy one, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no brainer with Trent. But it is a tricky one in terms of what's he going to expect? Because this is his big contract of his career, the next one. He's 25, peak age. He's already earning 180 a week. Going into his prime, as I said. How much of a raise is he going to want?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's going to want to raise, but you're going to, in some ways, luckily be able to go, well, he didn't play every game this season, Trent, so...
Yeah. I mean, do you think what he wants... Do you reckon it'll start with a three?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, there's only one player in the history of the club who's earned with a three, and that was Mo. And as I've just said, Mo's expected numbers are ridiculous. So, from Edwards' FSG perspective, you can absolutely justify paying Mo Salah loads because he repays you there. Trent. Numbers are brilliant, by the way, but Trent... just cannot replicate what Salah does because he doesn't play the same spot for a start. So, yeah, I don't know. Really interesting to see what Liverpool come to the table with and how far off they are. But extending him is a no-brainer, yeah.
Okay, we'll move on then. Salah, already the highest earner of the football club, expires 2025. He's 32 this summer. Is it an easy extend? Is it an easy extend for Michael Edwards, not for Josh Williams? Because I don't think it is an easy extend.
From an Edwards perspective? No, I don't think it's an easy one.
I think he does it. I just don't think it's easy for him. I think this one may...
Again, a bit of it comes back to what Salah expects. I think if Salah expects a raise, I think he'd be lucky to get a raise. Like, I think if he expects a good few years, again, I think... It's tricky, isn't it? How old is he? 32?
This summer.
Yeah. You probably put a 2-year cap on it, do you think? I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it, man?
The thing is, he doesn't look like he's slowing down any.
He doesn't, but the one really small red flag is his recent injury, which reoccurred a little bit, at least. And, you know, kept him out for a few games. Like, again, it's not about what he's done, it's about what he's going to do. And you don't want him to be earning 350 grand a week playing half your games or playing an hour as opposed to your 90s, which is what we're accustomed to him. Like, the contracts he's had are based on him being an absolute output merchant who's available every week, who is irreplaceable and very rare. Now...
He's still an output merchant. Irreplaceable.
Yeah, but
how
often is he going to be available?
The problem here for Edwards is that it is 2025.
Yeah.
Because you can't let him go in January.
Like, out of interest, what do you think he would say if you just offered him a 1-year extension on exactly the same wage?
I don't think he'd like it.
Don't you?
No, I don't think he'd like it at all.
Because of the years or because of the wage?
Because of the years.
Right, you'd think he'd be fine with the
window. This is across all sports, the older guy always believes that he is going to go on forever. He does.
I know, yeah.
And so Salah will be sitting there going, you don't believe in me. 1 year's a bit of a joke. I want 2 or 3 years. I'm absolutely fine. Father Time will not catch up with me. Mm. He never will. I'm too fast. And but Michael Edwards will be there going, and he catches up with everybody.
Yeah, the big problem,
and Tom Brady will go, honestly, even me.
The big problem with the older players as well is they naturally go to the negotiating table and say, look what I've done. You don't want to give them a contract based on what they've done. You want to give them a contract based on what they will do.
The problem with Salah is you still think he's going to do a lot. But again, I come back to it, Josh. The problem is it's 2025 and he can start speaking to clubs in January.
Mm.
So you have to get an extension sorted quickly. Otherwise, you lose someone who could still make you £100 million.
Well, I was going to say then, that's a really crucial point with Salah. I think when Salah leaves, when he does eventually leave, you absolutely want to sell him. You don't want to let him go free. So given that, maybe you could do 2 or 3 years and then when it comes to selling him, the buying club have to put in a decent bid to get him. Like, if you extend him until 27, which would be 3 years from now at least, an extra two on top of what he's currently earning. That would give him the whole of next season with Liverpool, and then he'd have 2 years on his deal. Then you maybe get over 100 million for him, potentially.
And that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, I think I'd probably give him a few... I'd stick to what he's currently earning, and I'd extend it by
2 years.
2 years, but probably...
Look to sell him.
Be open to selling him next summer. Yeah. You have to cash in on that.
You have to. I fully Edwards agree.
FSG, that's just the FSG way.
Okay. Next player on the list, and I think, you know, he's going to be 33 by the time next season starts, Virgil van Dijk. He's the second highest earner at the football club. He is the captain of the football club, and I think I'm right in saying he has played more minutes than anybody this season so far.
Hmm.
Is it an easy extend? Is he playing at his best level?
I actually think it is a relatively easy extend, you know.
Even for Michael Edwards when he's 33 at the start of the season.
Well, that's what complicates it. Like on paper, it looks tricky because he's second highest earner, and he's 33. But he never gets injured.
Yep.
There's no recent sign at all of a decline.
Correct.
Whatsoever. And you could potentially also group him in. Do you think you could group him with the Salah in terms of one day getting a big fee for him?
Yeah.
So, given that, maybe you're just trying to do what you're going to do with Salah and give him 2 years again, same wage. But you don't want to sell him in the same summer as Salah, do you?
But here's the other thing that Edwards will be looking at. I've got the stats up in front of me now and you can see it. This is all competitions, minutes. I've highlighted it in yellow for you. Virgil van Dijk has played the most minutes of any Liverpool player this season, 2,993. There is a point where that becomes... You can't have Virgil van Dijk playing the most games for you for the next 3 years.
No.
Because he is playing at an elite level right now, but there will naturally come a time when he can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's what Edwards will be looking at. When's the drop-off point? And making sure that he's almost not at Liverpool when it's there.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing with Van Dijk is he was a late bloomer. I think every player gets a certain number of years at the top, most players anyway. Van Dijk felt like he didn't reach any kind of prominence until 24, 25 mm-hmm. or something like that. I think he was late into football. I think it was Groningen in the Netherlands and stuff. So
he got his first start for Groningen at 19.
I think everything about him suggests he's going to be boss when he's like 36. The only worry you'd have is just like, you know, high line stuff. Is he going to cheat a little bit by dropping off a little bit? If you've got a centre-back who wants to drop off, especially if he's the captain, you become less proactive. You end up with a deep block out of nowhere. And, but I think for now, as right now, he looks absolutely fine. And I think even more than Salah, it looks like he's going to be fine to me for at least 24 months, do you think, 2 years?
I think I'd give him a 3-year contract.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think I'd tie him down to 2028.
Do you think he'd accept the same wage? Or do you reckon he'd want an increase on that?
I don't know, man.
220 he's on.
280. He's a captain now. He wasn't the captain.
I'm just
he'd probably start with a 3.
Do you think, yeah?
Yeah, might do.
See, given a player who's 33 this summer, an increase like that is a risk. For an Edwards FSG approach. Well, I love him as well. Out of them all, he feels...
He's the oldest as well.
Yeah, I feel most attached to him. I think, you know, I feel like you're talking about my older brother or something. Yeah. Just let him go.
Okay, so we're going to have Virgil 3. Would you be happy with 3 as well?
Yeah, I think I would, yeah. Potentially with a view of eventually cashing in.
Will Edwards, though? I think he'd struggle. I think he'd struggle with 3. I think he could do 2 and a push. Apropos of nothing, by the way, I've got no idea what Michael Edwards is thinking.
No, the only thing is about two is it he would run out again with Salah.
Yeah.
And I hate the thought of them leaving together. That would just be a tough one for Liverpool to overcome. You'd surely want to stagger that a little bit.
Yeah,
somehow.
You're right. And he is the captain of the football club as well, so it makes
And
makes
one sense. Of the things we're overlooking as well is just a lot of this depends on what the player wants. Like Salah, we probably wants to play in the Middle East eventually. Apparently now he wants to still play at the top level. So if when Liverpool wants to sell him, he doesn't want to go to the Middle East yet. You can't sell him, can you?
No, and the other thing that we're not really talking about here as well is, like, these lads have had the same manager for a long time now.
Yeah.
They might love or they might hate the next manager in the way that it works, but they'll be excited, I think, to do something different every day. They'll be gutted
that
Jürgen's going. But the training, you know, since Landers took over the training, has probably been very similar.
Mm.
They'll probably be excited and, you know, it might change, it might get better for them, they might enjoy it more, they might feel it a little bit more, they might get a little bit more freedom, there might be better plans to get some of them free, like Salah and stuff like that, to get even more goals and stuff like that. Like, yeah. So it could get better for them and they might... But the difficulty is, a lot of this is going on trust. Because with them both going out at 2025, Virgil and Salah, they ain't got time to see whether they like it or not before they commit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a crucial point as well.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, like, I mean, if Edwards was to appoint Hughes now and they next week went to the big three and offered them extensions, I mean, do you think any of them or all of them would say, let me see who you appoint first?
I think you would have to. I would.
Yeah, I agree. I think you'd naturally see who is replacing Klopp first, and then, especially if you're Trent. Like, Trent is, it's his prime now, it's his peak. He's going to want to win for the next 5 years. You know, the biggest honours. Not that he already hasn't, like, but then the next appointment is a huge thing for him, because he's got another 5 years here tied down. Whereas Salah and Virgil, there's a bit more like I've done it kind of thing with them.
They might ask for an agreement that if I don't like it, can I get a move?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean? But like, could you imagine Salah tying himself down to a 3-year contract or Virgil tying himself to a 3-year contract and then we appoint Gareth Southgate?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you would just be like, what the?
Exactly, yeah. But I think the way it'll work though anyway is Edwards will get Hughes in. Edwards and Hughes will get a manager in. They'll have a meeting. Talk about it, then
convey what the plan is for these players.
Yeah, then go forward with the extensions. But I mean, you'd imagine like any manager coming in with them three on the agenda would be firmly like keep them all.
Absolutely.
But that's there's an element of that where you got to expect that any manager's going to say that. You can't overly listen to that sometimes. You need to be the objective. You know, we'll take some short-term loss to be better long-term. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But so, like, it's just, it comes down to what we see is the footy field, 90 minutes twice a week. What they do is they go to training. Now, if you get Diego Simeone in and you're training defensive work and Salah comes in and goes, "Ah, oh, lad, this isn't for me, lad. I'm 32 years old. I don't need to be doing this, mate. I don't like it." And that's 5 days, 4 days a week, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, however many days they're training. Yeah. That's a massive part for them of what they...
With strength as well, there could be an element in there of like, where am I going to play?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Because if Abby
comes in and goes, "I'm going to put you centre midfield," and Trent goes, "Sound, 5 years, put it on the table now, sign it."
Yeah, yeah. I think he views himself as a midfielder, like, and I think he wants to be one now.
And if Zabi was to come in, I think he'd use him as a midfielder because he'll just look at him. We were talking about this, was it on the last show or was it before the shows? He must look at Trent and go, he can do everything I did. He's a midfielder.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could happen, but there's so many different things to consider. But I think the bottom line is, like, there's no one really that you'd push them out the door.
No.
There's maybe one or two where you'd consider a bid. But it's one of them as well where, like, if nothing happens almost, you're all right, really.
Yeah.
With the exception of, obviously, the big three that you need to extend. You can't just... There's no way on earth you can... Imagine they all left for free.
No, mate, no, that would be
horrendous.
This can't happen in a million years.
I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold's a million pound player.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Salah's 150, Virgil's probably 100 still.
Like recently,
you can't have 500 mil walk out the door.
No. Recently, Thomas Frank was asked about Ivan Toney, and he just said, like, he'll probably be getting sold in the summer because he's not extending his contract and it runs out next summer. And when they asked Ivan Toney, Ivan Toney was kind of took back a little bit by it, as to say, like, so you've just announced that you're going to sell me then. But, like, from a Brentford model perspective, and Brentford's model is similar to how FSG want to run things, you have to take the money rather than losing a player for free. I think when Liverpool lost, like, four players in the same summer for free, Ox, Naby, Bobby and Milner, that's not FSG, that's not the way of doing things, really. It's nice and all that, family club and all that stuff, but it's not the model, that.
No, it's not the model. And that's why, actually, I think the Salah and the Virgil thing is probably a harder conversation for Michael Edwards and FSG than it is for us. Because as much as we might try and separate it...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not our money.
No,
like, you know what I mean? And if they're asking for more money and you know you can get £150 million for Salah, yes, they'll back themselves to replace him. But I can't imagine they would do. One more player that we need to talk about, just briefly, to wrap up the show. Quivien Kelleher.
Yeah, well, I've just been asked one or two bits about him, really, and obviously he's doing well, but, you know, when he comes back into the team, when Alisson comes back, does he stay in the team, does he get sold, whatever? I think he's an interesting one, because he's only earning 10 grand a week. His contract expires in 2 years.
I guess that must have an appearance fee bonus, and quite a large one as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it might be like 30, 40 grand appearance fee.
Yeah, his contract expires in 2 years, so if you sell him, you probably sell him now. But again, I don't really think that'll happen because we've got other things to push on with. 25 years old. Yeah, I think if no bids come in and he's happy to stay...
There will be bids this summer.
Do you think?
Guaranteed. The way he's played this season,
yeah,
you're getting 40 for him.
40?
40.
I think you've got to take that. The stock's never going to be this high. He does very, very little for your actual points total over the course of a season because he doesn't play. So, you know, again, the sentiments in there, we do like him. He's as good as a backup as you're ever getting. But 40 million for a player who,
the problem
in an ideal world, gets 0 minutes.
But the problem is, he does get minutes.
Well, he does if Alisson gets injured, yeah.
And that's the thing. And, you know, are you stressing Alisson more for having him? Is he your Carabao Cup goalkeeper again? Like, 31 no. years old, is he now, Alisson?
No, I think Carabao, you'd obviously get in a number two, but it would be, or you'd promote someone internally. I'm not sure on the level of them. But I don't think you could turn down 40.
He deserves a new contract. It's whether it's right for his career. And he's been such a good servant for us. Kind of open to, you know, leaving the emotion in on this one. He's backed him up for a long time. It's not likely that he's going to replace him. Even as well as he's performed, nobody's considering Alisson not coming straight back into the side.
No,
and that tells you that
no chance.
You're a number two, and he's not a number two. He's a number one goalkeeper. He just happens to back up the best in the world.
Yeah, but I actually don't think he's number one level for Liverpool. I think even if Alisson,
do you?
Yeah, I think if Alisson moved tomorrow, I don't think Kelleher is good enough for Liverpool.
Wow.
Number one every week, 38 games a season.
Wow.
Okay. No. Good with his feet.
You have not impressed Josh Williams.
It's a brutal episode, this, isn't it? But he's I think he's better with his feet than Alisson.
Yeah.
But you've got to bear in mind, like, to be competing for Liverpool, Liverpool should be, in my opinion, competing for the Premier League and the Champions League every season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're doing that, and you've got Kelleher in goal, I don't think he is a difference maker enough with his shot stopping to get you over the line. Like, without wanting to be too harsh, I think if Alisson, for example, is in goal over the weekend, Liverpool beat Man United.
Do Liverpool beat Chelsea in the cup final if Alisson's in goal?
No, but that's a one-off, really good performance.
But are we not... playing devil's advocate, might we just see in his jump?
Possibly. I mean, if that's his level, what we've seen against Chelsea, fair enough, sounds.
Because we've seen it, to be fair, in a lot of games since he's come in.
Yeah,
he's not had a poor game.
No, since he's came in, he's been genuinely brilliant. and it's felt like we've had Alisson in goal, but this weekend it didn't. And I don't actually think he's like what we've seen since he came in. I don't think he's that level. I think he's having a good run and things like that, but I think it's something in between what we've seen and what we saw against United. I think he's around that. I think he's like, I don't know, West Ham good. Definitely Premier League good. Potentially like eighth, something like that. But Liverpool, mate, it's, you need top five goalkeeper in the world. And he's not that, I don't think he's going to be that either.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You disagree, yeah?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm judging it on what I've seen. Like and what I've seen is fucking excellent.
Mm. I don't think this is like a Chelsea problem where you've got Cech and Courtois in the door.
No.
It's not that for me.
No.
It's not even close. But I want to stress, I do like him and I think he's brilliant as a two.
You just think he should be earning 10 grand a week somewhere else?
Well, this is another thing, the 10 grand a week thing. The 10 grand a week thing, that allows Liverpool to get a really good fee for him.
Yeah.
Because whoever gets him in won't have to go and pay him billions because he's only on 10 grand a week. So if someone wants to get him in, pay 40, which is a big lump sum for a transfer, but then you're saving that on the wage by paying him, I don't know, 70, something like that, a week, 60, depending on where you go. Whereas if you give him a new contract and you put him closer to those numbers I've just said, that makes it then more expensive to sell him for the buying club eventually. I don't know. There's loads
My thing is, I am judging on what he's done. I think he's been excellent since he's come in. I am slightly concerned about trying to get another number two in because it's just really, really difficult. And I am also thinking about Alisson's injuries. He does pick them up.
Yeah.
He misses games every year. Like, that is... So your number two is going to get used at some point, I reckon. And that's a difficult thing for me. And Alisson is getting older. You know, it's tough. I would keep Kelleher at the football club if I could. My guess is, though, he's not going to want to if he's not going to get games anymore. Because he's just at that age now where he needs to find out himself whether he can be a top five goalkeeper in the world, and he's not gonna prove that he's a top five goalkeeper by playing Carabao Cup games.
By the way, the top five goalkeeper thing, if this is a leap he's experiencing now, you can always put like buyback clauses in there and that,
yeah,
to protect yourself against that. But last season, Alisson missed one Premier League game.
Mm-hmm.
Season before, he missed two. Season before that, he missed five. So, you know, that's not a great deal of reliance on your two, on your number two over the course of three seasons. Now it's a fair run. Kelleher's been in goal for how many games?
With the year we won the league, he missed the first 10.
Yeah, he did. And everyone was calling for Adrian to stay in goal. Remember that?
I wasn't calling for Adrian to stay in goal, but I do remember it.
That was painful, that, mate. But yeah, just generally, if you think of, you know, kind of dedicating your money to a squad, it really doesn't make sense to dedicate much money at all to your number two goalkeeper. And if you can get 40 million for him, does he want to go?
I reckon he will do, because I just don't think he wants to sit behind Alisson for his entire career. And that's right, that's what you want from a football player, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want someone who's just going to be happy to be a backup, unless they're like someone like an Adrian who is doing it for a certain reason or whatever, you know, the end of their career and all that type of stuff. But like, you wouldn't really want Adrian to stick around. His contract's coming up, I think, is it this summer? You'll probably get another year, maybe, who knows?
Am I getting battered on this today, am I?
I don't know.
I feel like I am.
Josh being harsh today, says Nigel.
I realised that, to be fair. I probably am reading.
I don't think, to be honest, I glanced over before and there was a lot of people agreeing. Yeah, you know, Liverbirds is Keller's class, but not a number one for Liverpool.
Okay.
I agree, says Resolute. Keller's really good, but we'll need a top three goalkeeper in the world. So, no, I don't think you're getting battered. He's spitting facts.
It's with this sort of thing, you do it is the proper cold side. This is why FSG is so good with Edwards and the data stuff and that, because the data, it doesn't know the person. It's proper objective and evidence based. And what's the evidence to suggest this player is worth this amount? Is he not? Sell him. if he is keeping Bayern, whatever. So Liverpool don't usually make too many mistakes unless managers start getting involved and saying Henderson's proper vocal, keep him for two more years.
So to recap the episode, Robbo, you're selling, Diaz, you're selling, Trent, you're Trent, you're extending, Salah, you're extending, Virgil, you're extending, Kelleher, you're selling.
No, we can't have someone up like that. There's no way it's like that. No, I'm in an ideal
world.
We don't
need to sum it up. It's fine. You can go back and watch the full video where we actually give proper serious discussion.
Use that as a social clip there and just make me look like a villain.
That's great. Just say that down the lens for me. Say down the lens. No, listen, thank you very much for joining us as always. It's nuanced. It's balanced. It's thoughtful. It's the deep dive. It's Josh Williams. It's Chris Pajak. And we'll see you next time. Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.